produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to my father's teachings. Before we get into the word that the Father is going to open up for us today, let's go before the Father and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I appreciate you. I thank you. I'm grateful for you sharing your heart with me so that I can communicate and share your heart with your people. Father, I pray for the eyes of your people's understanding to be enlightened, so that we can see better. Spirit of the living God, I lean on you to receive wisdom, revelation, and understanding. Father, I thank you that Jesus shall be glorified in everything that's going to come forth out of my lips today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, and thank God. All right, so what we've been talking about beginning since the last lesson is being a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And so it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is still in line with this teaching about being a peacemaker, but what we're going to get into more so today is not simply the fact that God has called us to be peacemakers, but we're going to define or give you a clear picture of what it means to be a peacemaker. And we're also going to look at some of the tools that we need to actually be peacemakers. Because in fact, think about it like this, that in order to make peace, there are two things that are necessary. One, you need tools, and two, you need know-how. So let me say that again. In order to make peace, we need the tools, and we also need the know-how. Now, let me explain to you, just to kind of give you a little recap of what peace is. So peace is the absence of conflict. It means to pacify or to calm things down, like we talked about in the previous lesson, was how Jesus calmed the storm. And you could also look at it from the standpoint of a baby, where when a baby's mouth is going through that stage where his gums are fighting irritation, you give that little baby the pacifier to calm them down. And so when we're talking about being a peacemaker, we're talking about someone who has the ability to calm things down. Anybody can aggravate a situation. Anybody can agitate things, but we've been assigned to be a calming influence in this world. Now, not only does the word peace have to do with the absence of conflict, not only does it have to do with pacifying things, but peace also means to complete. It has to do with someone being whole. Praise God. Now, with that being said, why do you pacify or resolve conflict? Because we need a motivator. Why is it you don't just let the baby cry? Why is it you give the baby the pacifier? You give the baby the pacifier because you love and you care about them and you don't want them irritated. Well, Why do you resolve conflicts with other people? You do so for the same reason, because you love, you care, or it may just be because you care about what you need to do. So you've got a common objective. And so because you care about what needs to do, then you're willing to make peace so that you can reach the objective together. Because you understand we can't reach this objective together if we're busy fighting each other, if we're busy arguing with each other. So then we need to pacify or bring peace to this situation and resolve the conflict so we can reach our joint or intended goal. Does that make sense? I'm sure it does. Praise God. All right, so I've already told you that two things that you're going to need in order to make peace are going to be your tools and know-how. In other words, what are the instruments that I'm going to need, and how am I going to bring these instruments to play in order to bring about peace? Because it's important that both of those things are in play. All right, so with that being said, we're going to look at five peacemaking tools, and I'll go ahead and name them, but then we're going to dig into them. Now, we're probably not, well, let me say it this way. There's a very slim likelihood that we'll go through all of these tools today. What I really want to do is deal with one tool at a time. I'll go ahead and give you all five, but I want to deal with in depth each individual tool just to make sure we're giving each one of these tools the proper time that it takes in order for us to drill down into them, so that we not only can identify these tools, but that we have a workable plan, a course of action when it comes to utilizing these tools. So tool number one is your thinking or imagination. Tool number two is seeking. Tool number three is prayer. Tool number four is actions. Tool number five. Now, this right here is going to really be interesting when we talk about tool number five in a subsequent lesson. I know we're not going to get into this today, but tool number five is put to death the enmity or the reasons for the conflict. So going back to tool number one, we're talking about thinking or imagination. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. I'm there, so we're going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and read this. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I'm going to go ahead and read verse 4. It says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So going back to verse 3, and it's a very familiar verse, but I think that not too many of us have really delved into it to really get the meat out of it. So he says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." Now, what Isaiah is about to do is, one, he's telling us that God will keep a person in perfect peace, but he's also telling us what kind of person, or what kind of person, or what kind of mindset the person has who God will keep in perfect peace. Now, there are some things that I want to bring some clarity on to help us better understand this verse. So he says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." So God will keep you in peace. Now, if you were to look up perfect peace in Hebrew, it actually says, "Thou will keep him in peace, peace." And the reason I emphasize that is because in the Hebrew tongue, for emphasis' sake, they would actually repeat the word. That's why many times when you look at Jesus talking in the New Testament, because Jesus was Hebrew, he would say, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly, I say unto you." He would say that to emphasize his point. So when Isaiah is saying that you will keep him in peace, peace, he's emphasizing the peace that God is going to keep you in. But now he's about to give us the criteria for God to keep you in this peace. He says, "Whose mind is stayed." Now, let me help you with the word "mind" in this verse. because the word mind here means creative imagination. So let's take it from the top. Thou will keep him in peace, or perfect peace, whose creative imagination is stayed. Now, the words following stayed is on thee in this verse, but those words were added by the translator. They were not in the original text. So actually, Isaiah didn't say whose mind is stayed on thee. He said, the mind is stayed. What is Isaiah saying? That God will keep you in perfect peace if you create it in your mind and you don't shift it, you don't change it, you don't alter it. In other words, you don't veer from it. So here's what we're looking at. And this is why I defined peace earlier. Because if you don't know what peace is, then you really don't know what your aim is. So in order for us to be peacemakers, we need to know what peace is. That peace means that I calm things down. Peace means that I distill conflicts. Peace means that I'm complete. I'm not an incomplete puzzle. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. I have what is needed. So he says, thou will keep this person in perfect peace who creates it in their mind. So this is a very important point for us to understand, that peace begins in the mind. Why is that important? Because in order for you to make peace, you have to understand you're going to be making peace in an environment that's not peaceful. Let me say it again. In order for you to make peace, you have to be making it in a place that doesn't have it. So you don't make peace in a peaceful situation. A peacemaker is one who has the tools, who has the ability to go into a situation that's missing peace and bring peace in. Just like how Jesus, with the boat rocking and water was filling up the ship and everything in our previous lesson, Jesus being a peacemaker took the tools necessary to pacify or to calm the storm and the people. So that's a very important piece for us to understand if we're going to be peacemakers, is that it means that we're going to be bringing peace into a situation where there's conflict, where there's hysteria. And therefore, if we're peacemakers, we're not intimidated by environments that are not peaceful. Let those who are not peacemakers be intimidated by it. But if I'm a peacemaker and I have the tools, I know I'm equipped and I know how to use my tools, I'm not intimidated by a situation that is chaotic. Why? Because I'm a peacemaker. And so that's why Jesus, just going back to the previous lesson, was able to sleep during the storm, because a peacemaker is not disturbed by storms. You're not disturbed by it if you've got the tools to squash it. And so what God is wanting to raise up is a people who are not intimidated by storms. God is wanting to raise up a people who are not intimidated by conflict, who don't run from trouble necessarily, but knows how to calm it, who knows how to pacify things that are out of hand. God needs a people who can steal the storm, not just run from storms. Because a lot of times what we do is we run from one storm to the next. Something's going on with this relationship, I'm going to run from it. That's what we do. And I'm not saying that in judgment. I'm saying that as someone who has done it. But I thank God that my eyes are open now where I can see things better. But that's the reality of it, is that many of us are not making peace when storms come. We run from storms. And I'm not saying necessarily that this is for everybody at any level, but what I am saying is that I'm talking to somebody, because we've got to have people in this world, people in the body of Christ, who can calm things as opposed to needing things to already be calm. Because you only need peacemakers if there's conflict. If there's no conflict, if everything's good, what do you need a peacemaker for? You already have it. And so the assignment of the peacemaker is to calm the storm, is to pacify situations, is to bring about peace. And so that's why the first thing that I identified is that the peacemaker in his toolbox has to have the ability to create it in his own mind. Because in creating it in your own mind, then you've given God something to work with, because the scripture says that God is going to keep you in perfect peace, but the responsibility on the person is to create it in your mind. So if I don't create it in my mind, and if I don't keep it locked in my mind, then God has nothing to keep me in. So I have to create the picture or the imagination of peace. What does peace look like? What does peace sound like? What does peace feel like? I need to create that in my mind, and then God will keep me in what I have created. But I've got to create that in my mind. Why? Watch this. The last part of this verse. He said the reason that this person's mind is stayed. Now, the word stayed, let me say this. The word stayed means fixed. It has to do with like you being locked in. You're not shifting it. So you created this image in your mind, and you have determined this is what I'm going to live out and experience. I've created this in my mind, and I'm not shifting it. And you have that mindset because of the last piece of this verse, which says, because he trusted in thee. In other words, because I trust God, this is why I create an image in my mind of the peace that I will inhabit. In other words, it's born out of trust. So if I trust God, I will create this image in my mind of peace with the full expectation that God will keep me in what I've created in my mind. I can't say that enough times. Praise God. All right. So now let's go to another passage. My goodness, time is really getting away from me. Let's go to another passage. Let's go to Genesis 11, verse 6. Genesis 11, verse 6. Now, this is another passage that many people are familiar with, probably more familiar with this one than the verse we just left. But of course, you know the story of it when they were trying to build what we call the Tower of Babel. They're trying to build this tower that would extend all the way into the heavens. But look at verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. All right, so here is God taking a look at what man is doing. Now, let me say this, because in context, they're building something that is contrary to what God wants them to build. But we can still extract the principle of this to learn how to build what God wants us to build when you look at God's assessment of the matter. So God says they're one. In other words, they're unified. They have one vision. You got multiple people, many people, one vision. He says they're one. And they all have one language. So they're speaking this. They see the same thing. They're working together. They speak in one language. And he says, and this they begin to do. But notice this, he says, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Now, the word restraint has to do with prohibited. It has to do with being able to stop you. So he says nothing will be able to stop you, or nothing will be able to stop them, which they have imagined to do. So just coupling this with the previous verse, you have to understand that once you get to imagining, it puts you in a posture where nothing will be able to stop you. Why? Because you've imagined it, you've planned it out and everything, and so you have postured yourself to be unstoppable. So when it comes to peace, we need to have the mindset that I have, one, understood what peace is from God's perspective. And he's anointed me. He's equipped me to be a peacemaker. He's blessed me. The Bible says blessed are peacemakers. So I'm blessed to be a peacemaker. So I have the ability to go into this situation and bring about peace. And nothing shall be restrained from me. In other words, there is nothing that can stop me from my objective. That's the mindset that we need to have with it, that I'm a peacemaker. This situation is not peaceful, but praise God, I don't need it to be. That's why I'm here. I'm here to bring peace. That's my purpose that I'm going to serve. I am here to infect peace, or to institute peace into this situation. And I've got God's word on it that if I use my imagination properly, nothing shall be restrained from me. Nothing. And see, this is an area that as believers, we need to really lock in on, whether it's peace or other objectives that we're after. We need to use our creative imagination more out of our trust for God. I cannot emphasize that enough, because I don't want you to think that I'm simply talking about just going and creating a bunch of havoc. But where we understand what God is after, and we create in our mind the image of that so that we can see what he's actually saying, and we determine that this is what I'm going to have in my life. I'm going to have peace in my house. I'm going to have peace. I'm enjoying peace on my job. Well, how can you say you're going to enjoy peace? I'm going to create it. It may not be a peaceful environment right now, but I found out that I'm blessed to be a peacemaker, and I'm finding out how to use my tools. So I'm going to use my tools, and I'm going to create what's not there. Why? Because God has shown me clearly in the scriptures that I can do it. I don't have to wait on anybody. I can use the tools that God has equipped me with. And the first tool that he gave me is my ability to think. That doesn't cost me any money. It simply costs me some time. It costs me some focus. But that's okay. I want peace on my job. So I'm going to first create it in my mind. And I've got God's word on it. He said that nothing shall be restrained from me that I've imagined to do. So why would I not create it in my mind? Why would I not imagine it, since I've already got God's verdict on it? So it would make sense then for me to then create it in my mind with the full expectation that God is going to cause me to live in what I have created, according to Isaiah 26:3, coupled with Genesis 11, verse 6. And so that's a beautiful thing. We just need to get a hold of it, that you can operate in a place where you're not restrained. See, truly, I believe that the limitations we have are really just the limitations we've placed on ourselves. You can have whatever level of peace you choose, but we need to get rid of the excuses that, well, this is not how I want it to be, or this is not how, well, create it, imagine it as being as it should be. Now, we've got four more tools that we're going to talk about, but start with that, where you start looking at things differently, where you start seeing that you're well able to have everything that God wants you to have, that you're able to go into a situation and influence it with peace. Because you've adopted peace as your mindset, that I'm a man of peace, I'm a woman of peace, therefore I can bring peace. So it's okay if the situation is not as it should be. That's why God sent me here, because I'm chosen to change it. So it's okay if there's havoc, if there's conflict right now. It's okay. I'm a peacemaker. I can pacify this thing. So we're going to close off right there. Thank you for listening. I want to praise God for you. I really thank God for you. And I command the blessing will overshadow and overtake your lives where you receive and walk in the wisdom that's been communicated today, and that God is continually glorified in and through your life, and that you become fearless walking in the peace that God has provided. Stay tuned for next time. We're going to learn about some more of these tools. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.